All of the strange stuff, all of the supernatural stuff, except for the gods themselves, is in that first half. The second half takes place in the here and now, in a world like this one, on Ithaca. And that, on this reading, would chronicle the process by which someone who's got himself or herself in order, in a series of ever-widening waves, you could say, generates order, adherence to nomos, if you wish, in the world around them. That's what the Odyssey is about, too. For example, let's take four labors just to show how this works. One of the most famous is Odysseus sails past the island of the Sirens, who have an irresistible song. He arranges beforehand, knowing that the song is irresistible, to have himself tied to the mast, with instructions to his crew that no matter what he says or does, they can't untie him. He meanwhile fills his crew's ears with beeswax so they can't hear anything. And he goes by the island of the Sirens, hears their song, but through foresight and a kind of self-discipline, doesn't fall victim to it, is not seduced by it. That was read as being a way of talking about the power to resist the seductions of one's own reputation, of coming to believe what is said about one. That was said to be a way of talking about keeping your head when everyone thinks well of you. And Odysseus passes that test. Another famous episode, he goes to the realm of the dead. That's the central episode of his labors. That's the hinge point. And indeed, to function effectively, you have to be able to deal with the fact of death. There Odysseus meets his mother's shade. He doesn't know that she's died. He says, "Mom, what did you die of?" She says, "Yearning for you, Odysseus." And still, he continues in the face of his own demise and in the face of that loss. Circe, he encounters an island inhabited by a goddess who can turn men into animals, to pigs, to wolves. This was read as suggesting that you have to be able to resist in yourself the fierce impulses and the erotic and gluttonous impulses that might deflect you from fulfilling your full potential. And most famous of all, the Cyclops. And here Odysseus learns from his mistake. The Cyclops is a giant about 40 feet tall, living off his sheep, fierce, uncivilized from Homer's perspective and most likely from ours. Odysseus and his men go to his cave to steal some food. It's clear that this is the cave of a giant being. His men want to leave. Odysseus says, "No, I'd like to meet this guy." Well, he gets his chance. And the Cyclops proceeds to start eating Odysseus's men, promising him that Odysseus's present will be that he gets eaten last. Odysseus escapes, but he's learned some lesson about rashness and overestimating his capacities.